Ladies and gentlemen, Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs, Tom Shannon. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Thanks for coming today. My recent trip down to Central and South America, I told the folks that we were going to host a conference here in Washington, a conference to promote best practices, which really says how best can the United States help people in our neighborhood. Laura and I had a magnificent trip to Central and South America. It reminded me of the importance of having a peaceful and prosperous neighborhood. It's in our interest, in the interest of the United States, that our neighborhood be healthy and educated. And so this conference is an attempt to bring together key people of my administration and faith-based groups and private sector groups from the United States as well as our neighborhood to discuss how we can work together to promote social justice, to help people realize, a better life through good education and good health care. I do thank members of my administration who've joined us. I understand after this event there's going to be a series of breakout groups led by members of my cabinet. Hank Paulson is here, the Secretary of the Treasury. As a matter of fact, he's heading down to, I think, Brazil tomorrow. Secretary Carlos Gutierrez, the Secretary of Commerce, will be leading a group. Mike Leavitt will lead a breakout session. He's the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And then Margaret Spellings is the Secretary of Education. I think you're going to find these folks to be concerned, compassionate Americans who care about the lives of our citizens in our neighborhood. And I appreciate them serving. And then you get a speech from my wife, which is, like, really smart to have her speak. It's you're stuck with the B team right now, and then the A team will be coming for El Muerta. I want to thank all the folks who joined us. Thanks for coming. As you can see, we've got an interesting way of making a variety of points. What I hope to accomplish at this breakout session is to first explain to our fellow citizens how important it is that the United States be active in the neighborhood in which we live. Secondly, and by the way, thanks, ambassadors, for coming. I appreciate you all being here. It's very kind of you to take time out of your busy schedules to be here, and we're honored you're here. Secondly, it's important for me to explain to our fellow citizens some of the work we're doing in the neighborhood. I think our citizens will be pleased to know, for example, that we're working very hard to get trade agreements through our Congress, because the best way to help defeat poverty is to encourage commerce and trade. Now, we've got trade agreements we've reached with Peru and Panama and Colombia. It's really important for the United States Congress to pass these trade agreements. If you're interested in prosperity in our neighborhood, if you want to help improve the lives of others, then the United States Congress must honor the agreements we've negotiated with these important countries and pass this legislation. I'd like to see the Peruvian deal done by the beginning of August. They got time to get the bill done. Members of Congress have got ample days on the calendar to pass this important piece of legislation so we can send a clear signal to our neighborhood that we want you to be prosperous, that we want to help you realize your potential through trade with the United States of America. Trade agreements are good for both sides. It's good for U.S. workers, and it's good for Peruvian, Colombian, or Panamanian workers, and it's our interest to promote trade. Secondly, we're doing a lot to promote health. You know, one symbol of our commitment is the Navy medical ship called the Comfort that is traveling the region, but more importantly, is providing basic and sophisticated health care to people in need. I mean, the United States, we're strong, no question about it, but our greatest strength is our hearts. Tenemos corazones grandes aquí en este país. We care deeply about the plight of other people, and when we see their suffering, we want to help. And the comfort is a way for us to send a clear message that that we care about the people that live in the neighborhood that we occupy together. You know, Laura and I had an amazing experience in Guatemala, and that's Maria's country. We went to the highlands. We first saw a small business guy who was formerly a subsistence farmer who put together a cooperative of fellow farmers that now have got access to the U.S. markets and are making a living. The most important thing was, he said, I'm saving money so my child can get a higher education. But we also went to an outpost where U.S. military was providing basic health care for people. Now, we've expanded on that health care initiative by setting up a nurses training center in Panama. That's what Leavitt will be discussing, Secretary Leavitt. The reason I bring this up is that we understand how important it is for people to have good health. We understand that a healthy society is one that is one in which people will be more likely to realize their full God-given potential. And we want to help, and we want to be involved. And part of our discussions today will be how best can the United States and faith-based groups and private groups and NGOs work collaboratively to achieve important objectives. A third objective is education. As I mentioned, Margaret Spellings will be here. She's the Secretary of Education. But the United States is deeply involved in people-to-people projects, all aimed at improving literacy. We believe strongly in helping teachers teach. And therefore, teacher schools make a lot of sense. But the purpose of the groups today, of this meeting today, is to help us better focus our resources and do a better job of helping people in our neighborhood realize their potential. I happen to be a person who does believe in an Almighty, and I believe the Almighty implants in each soul the great human potential. And it's in our interest to help people realize their full potential. And two ways to do so, and two practical ways to do so, is for the United States to be involved in health issues as well as education issues, and we are. And we're spending a fair amount of taxpayers' monies to achieve those objectives. And so one of my objectives is to explain to the American people it's in your interest to help people in our neighborhood become better educated. And it's in your interest that we help people get good health care. Because a healthy and educated and prosperous neighborhood is in the long-term interests of the United States. It's also in our interest to help a neighbor in need. It renews our soul. It lifts our collective spirit. I believe to whom much is given, much is required. We've been given a lot as a nation, and therefore I believe we're required to help people realize their potential. So that's why I've come. I've also come to hear some of the folks on our panel. You're probably glad I'm about to quit talking so you can hear some of the folks on the panel too. We're going to start with Shannon. He's worked for me at the NSC in the White House, now as the State Department. He is the main guy when it comes to South and Latin America. I don't know if that's a diplomatic term, main guy, or not.
It works for me, sir.
That's right. But welcome.
Mr. President, thank you very much, and thank you for being here for this conversation. This conversation will really frame and inform the rest of this conference, and we have around the table with us today representatives of Mexico, Brazil, Haiti, the United States, and Guatemala. It really does span the Americas, but it also captures the themes that we're going to be talking about today: expanding economic opportunity, investing in education, strengthening health care, and building public-private partnerships. And our panelists, I believe, will highlight the dynamism and the hope and the effort that really defines the Americas today. And they're evidence that there is a positive agenda in this hemisphere. And it's a positive agenda that has emerged within our democracies. And they're evidence that there are common values that join us and that there are shared tasks that confront us. And ultimately, they're evidence that we all respond to the demands of our peoples for respect, dignity, and freedom. Our conversation's about the future of our democracies and the recognition that citizenship in our democracies is not just political, it's also social and economic. And our citizens seek not only a voice in their national destiny, but also the capacity and the opportunity to shape their personal destinies. Our panelists and those who follow today in the different breakout sessions highlight, I believe, the richness of our hemisphere and the potential that can be released when governments listen to and work with their peoples. Finally, this conversation is evidence that our diplomacy in the Americas, the diplomacy of the United States, is larger than just a diplomacy between states. It is really between and among peoples, and we're working towards an alliance of peoples in the Americas. And Mr. President, I think this is a great place to start.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. Before I call on Maria, I do want to say something about our expectations, and that is we expect governments to be of and by and for the people. We expect governments to be honest and transparent and open. We reject the notion that it's okay for there to be corruption in government. You know, we really believe that open, transparent societies are those that lead to hopeful tomorrows. And so part of our foreign policy, for example, through the Millennium Challenge account, is to set expectations that most people want. The expectation of a government that invests in the health and education of our people. The expectation that there will be no corruption, that there will be transparency, that people will be able to express themselves in an open forum without fear of reprisal. And so no question we want to be involved on the people-to-people programs, but we also have the objective of enhancing, you know, good government as well, which we believe strongly will lead to more hopeful futures. Anyway, Maria's here. Where are you from, Maria?
I'm from Guatemala.
Que bueno. Bienvenidos.
Muchas gracias.
And so how do you, what do you do for a living?
In Guatemala, I have a little business incubator. But before I go into that, I just want to say that I'm really happy to be in a country like this, because I think this country represents dreams, and represents dreams becoming realities. And I also come here to this country with a dream. But before I get into that, I'd like to tell you a story. That,
por favor.
In
you speak in English and I'll speak in Spanish.
Bueno, está bien.
Yeah, if I'll ruin the language and you won't. But
I'm Guatemalan, and in Guatemala in 2001, there was a famine declared for the first time. There was a drought in these communities, and there was a coffee crisis. And in the newspaper, there were pictures of small girls dying of hunger. And we were able to come to this community and see what was happening and meet the people. And along the road, I met this woman called Doña Santa. And she took me to her house. And I go there, and little palm house, there's a little boy sick. And I tell her, you know, Doña Santa, why don't you take him to the hospital? He's going to die. And she said, you know, Maria, I have $5 in my pocket. With those, I can try to save this child, or I can try to feed the other six for the rest of the month. But for me, I love this story because it has a happy ending. When we asked Doña Santa, you know, what can we do for you? What do you need? She said, market. If you can, she said, Maria, if you can sell what we produce, the rest we can do on our own. So that changed a little bit what our organization was thinking of doing, and we started selling markets. We were able to find an industry that needed packaging. This industry export products to the world, and they needed a fiber packaging done by hand. And what we see 5 years after this community has had a steady source of income from being connected is amazing. Like you said, in the community, you know, the women started feeding their children. For the first time, we have kids in 11th or 12th grade dreaming of going to school. But the most important thing that we saw is what you said. The human potential that was in these women that seemed to be a problem just came out through markets. And the pride that you could see in them is really what I think markets are all about.
Let me ask you a question. So you started this group initially to, what's the name of it?
Kies de los Bosques.
Sí.
it's a Mayan word.
you started it when? In 2001?
2004.
2004, no. Good. How many members?
We have, there's 22 people in the company, but we're working now with more than 1,000 women in Guatemala from different
groups. So, lesson one, by the way, there is such thing as social entrepreneurs. It is somebody who says, I'm going to help somebody else, and it takes time, talent, and energy. And as a result, you're affecting now 1,000 lives, you know, 1,000 primary interfaces, which affects no telling how many lives. One of the messages I hope that comes out of this meeting is that you can make a difference. It doesn't take much. And as a matter of fact, society's changed one heart at a time, and therefore, if you're one of those persons changing hearts, you're part of societal change for the better. And so I hope that we can inspire our fellow citizens to become involved with the NGOs or the faith-based groups or the community-based groups, all helping our neighborhood, and hopefully inspire people like in Guatemala to step up and do the same thing that Maria's done. So are you pretty upbeat, optimistic, pessimistic? Tell me how you're looking these days.
I think what we have seen with this community gets us really optimistic, because with this event, not only the community changed, but the private sector and the government is saying, how can we do more of this at a bigger scale? So I'm really optimistic, because what I have seen is that trade can be beautiful. A trade that recovers ecosystems, a trade that values ancestral cultures, a trade that incorporates people that were outside of the productive sector for the first time into a supply chain. I think that kind of trade becomes a very important tool.
I appreciate it. Look, it's very important for my fellow citizens to understand that when we open up markets in a fair way, in other words, we treat our producers the same as producers in other countries, it benefits us. It particularly helps lift people out of poverty. And that's what we want. We want people prosperous in your neighborhood. If you're living in a neighborhood, you want there to be prosperity in your neighborhood. And so I appreciate you bringing up the importance of markets and giving people just the basic opportunities in life. And it'll make it's a transforming strategy. And so thanks for coming, Maria. It says here you're an organic farmer.
Yeah, I was an organic farmer for 12 years.
Yeah, what were you farming?
I was farming vegetables.
Vegetables, yeah.
Yes.
I'm not big on vegetables, but thanks.
Broccoli and vegetables.
Don't tell my mother that. But thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Matthew, what do you do?
I work for Partners of the Americas.
And what is that?
Partners of the Americas is an organization we've been around for over 40 years now. And we connect people with other people in our hemisphere.
Really?
A nonpartisan.
Now, what does that mean? Connect people with other people.
It means we have volunteer groups in almost every state of the U.S. that are partnered with similar groups in almost every country in the region.
That's great.
And so those local groups are filled with volunteers that are teachers and doctors, along with churches and organizations and business people. And when we engage those groups, we engage those people, say in an exchange, for example, somebody from Wisconsin going to Nicaragua or someone from Paraguay coming to Kansas. They may be traveling alone, but it's almost like the plane were filled with all of their connections to their communities. And people say, we say we work with civil society, and people say, well, what is civil society? Well, that's civil society. It's all those people, they're all those connections that when you have one person interacting with a new community, it has a ripple effect, a multiplier effect, a leverage that it's a great investment. And if you look at a small investment, a couple of examples, the Youth Ambassadors Program, which we've had the pleasure of working with the U.S. government and our embassies and the private sector to provide opportunities to underprivileged youth in 9 different countries. These are kids who are self-starters. One of our Brazilian youth ambassadors, I asked him, who his English teacher was, and he said, Mariah Carey on the radio. And this is someone who deserves an opportunity, and he was able to come and spend a week in Washington, see how our government, how our democracy works, and then more importantly perhaps, no offense to Washington, he was able to go out and stay with a host family, go to school with kids his age, learn about cultures in different states in the U.S., and take that experience back with him.
So are you looking for volunteers?
We are always looking for volunteers.
And how would one who might be interested in volunteering find information about ways to help?
Well, you can
start.
You have
a website, for example?
We do. We have partners.net is a great place
partners.net.
To start.
Partners.net. And what would one find there?
One would find a list of our programs and our partnerships, which states are partnered with which countries and some of the areas of priority areas that they've been working on. You'd also find information about a program that you announced in 2001, the American Fellows Program,
right.
Which we are proud to say has been a great success. We've now, not only is it just a government fellows program, it's also a business fellows program, and by the end of this month, our 100th fellow will have returned from service. And we believe in these people-to-people partnerships, but we also believe in sector-to-sector partnerships. We have our Aganar program. It involves teaching youth employability skills by using soccer and team sports. And we work with the Inter-American Development Bank, and we have very important private sector contributions from corporations like Microsoft.
So what happens if somebody wanted to become a teacher for the summer or wanted to take a trip to, and part of the experience of the trip was to make an impact on somebody's life? How can they find that kind of program on your website?
Certainly. There are many opportunities for exchange, and one of the good things now, we have a lot of representatives here from other organizations. We're certainly not the only show in town, and it's great to have that competition in the healthy sense of the word. There's a lot of opportunities for service learning.
And so is there a common website? Do we have a website, for example, as a result of the meeting? I might ask my friend Karen Hughes to think about this. She probably has already thought about it, knowing her. And that is to think maybe about a listing of different ways our fellow citizens can get involved in helping different programs, either financially or through time and effort. Maybe we ought to think about that. I know you already have. Good, thanks. Anything else you want to say, Matthew, while you've got the floor here?
Well, I can't pass up that opportunity. Uh-huh. I would say there's
your chance, man.
Yeah. Well, there are some interesting initiatives out there. One in the Senate now, a bipartisan bill that's the Global Service Fellowship Act, which would give vouchers to people who want to volunteer, not just in this region but elsewhere. And it's a great idea because people can come with a little bit of resources, which when they then go and travel somewhere, They're not only doing what they're doing, that exact activity, but they are citizen diplomats. And there's no better way, I think, for any country, not just ours, to represent what we believe in than by just doing things together in a community.
Thank you. A healthy society is one in which people are responsible for their behaviors. A healthy capitalist society is one in which corporate America, in this case, is responsible for, becomes a responsible citizen. And we have got such a soul here in Vivian Alegre. She is from Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you very much. For the Coca-Cola Foundation in Mexico.
Coca-Cola Foundation. And what does the Coca-Cola Foundation do?
Well, the Coca-Cola Foundation in Mexico is focused on projects that strengthen the communities and that raise the living standards, focus on education and directors to the most needy communities.
Yeah.
So we're building schools for these children that live isolated, and we are refurbishing what they call indigenous scholar shelters. This is like a boarding school where children can live from Monday till Friday in order to attend a school. Because of the dispersion we have in our indigenous population in Mexico, sometimes they need 8-hour distances in order to go to school. You know?
So you're building schools?
We're building schools and boarding schools. Mm-hmm. And we're working closely with the government, with the Mexican government. That was a very important partnership for us because they have the people, they have the knowledge, they have the infrastructure, and what is most important, they know the country needs. So we're supporting them. And right now, the school shelters, they're like true community centers for these populations. We have a multiple use room inside the shelter where they can have libraries and also computers. And, well, computers in these communities, they have been really the difference for these children because it's like a window to the world for them. No? Finally, through internet, all of them have internet, with solar energy, some of them, no? Through internet, they have a lot of opportunities right now. We're working also with different NGOs, universities doing their social service there, the federal and state government, and with Coca-Cola Foundation, and we're putting together different programs inside the shelters. So we have a nutrition program for the children, health and wellness, and also a reforestation program, an art and crafts, reinforcing their tradition and their culture. And well, all the shelters, they're friendly with the environment, because all of them have a harvest and water system, also a reforestation program, and we're taking advantage of this program in order to take the people of the Coca-Cola Company, include the people of the Coca-Cola Company and the system, to help them with the maintenance and planting trees and all the different activities we have to do there. So we are trying to fostering, we are fostering, not trying, a culture of collaboration and sustainability.
I think, you know, one of the things that our citizens have got to understand here, there's a lot of corporate America that are very much involved in the communities in which they're active, and that's important. And I would encourage our companies that do business in the neighborhood to understand that it's one thing to sell a product, it's another thing to help people be able to buy the product and become involved in the communities in which they're doing business. And I'm confident a lot of our companies are. I know Microsoft, for example, is very much involved with education programs. And Laura and I are working on a very important initiative to help eradicate malaria in parts of the world, and corporate America is helping there too. So for those of you who represent corporate America, thanks for coming, and thanks for being involved. And if you're not, get involved. It'll not only help your business, it'll help your country. Because I'm going to keep saying this over and over again, an objective of our country and this government is for there to be a healthy, educated, and prosperous neighborhood. It's in our interest. America does better when people in the neighborhood in which we live are feeling better, can read better, and are making more money.
Yes.
Prosperity is, and health and education are just essential to, you know, a peaceful community around us. Anyway, so thanks for coming, Vivian.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. Gilberto, you are from
Brazil.
Great country.
Great country.
Yeah.
It is. Great country.
I'm proud to report that relations with Brazil are improving a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a very close relationship with President Lula.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked hard to make it that way. And one of the interesting initiatives we're working on is a alternative fuel initiative that where the United States and Brazil can work and share technologies, not only between our two countries, but in the neighborhood, so that we can all become less dependent on oil.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so relations are good. And so what do you do for a living, Gilberto?
So I'm a journalist.
A journalist?
Yes.
That's good. Yeah.
Very good? I'm not very good.
No, it's great. Believe me.
So, but I work...
Isn't it?
I work for Folha de São Paulo, one of the leading newspapers in Brazil, and a global organization, another leading media organization. And in the last almost 20 years, I've been writing about violence against kids and adolescents in Brazil.
Oh, well, thank you.
Denouncing assassination of kids, sexual exploitation, and many of the books was translated into many parts. This is my private life. But at the same time, I do my volunteer work. And I create a program that is called Bairro Escola, which means teaching neighborhood. And this model means this. We go to the neighborhood and we see everything that we have in the neighborhood. NGOs, schools, charity, universities, volunteers, theaters, cinemas, whatever, everything. And create a net among all of these people, all of these institutions. And the kids, the adolescents, will have his or her school as a neighborhood. So it's a 24-hour teaching neighborhood where you can have health linking to the school, linking to the theater, linking to the social assistance, and the kid is going to feel as he lives or she lives in the place where they can learn everywhere. And in the last, we developed this idea and started when I was living in New York, because I was so impressed about how the community could tackle the violence. I was in this school in Columbia University, and I started to do this in 97 when I lived in Manhattan. And only this year, the UNICEF decided to adopt this idea as a model to disseminate throughout the Americas. And last week, the federal government decided to replicate this idea all over the country because we have indicators showing that Bahi Scholar could at the same time improve education, the performance, without spending money, only rearranging the potential. And at the same time, we have very strong signs that when you create social capital and human capital together, the violence goes down as well.
Fantastic. And the when you say countrywide, that's first you got a big country. This will be promoted by the federal government.
Yes, federal
in
government.
Collaboration with private with your group.
It's UNICEF, and there are a bunch of American companies that are supporting us, like Intel, J.P. Morgan, and who are helping training because our goal, Mr. President, is train people in the community in order to create net. That's why our program is a mix between education and communication.
Right.
And we've learned that when you put people together, it's very easy to make the education improve. One instance, we create one model in the neighborhood that I live, because I believe if you want to change the world, first try to change your neighborhood.
That's right.
And only because we put together the health center to the school performance improved 30% in 1 year and a half, because the people have problems in hearing or in eyes and so on and so on.
That's right.
And they discovered that the best way to spend money is not to waste money, and to not waste money is see everything that you can use in toward education. That's the Bahi Scholar teaching neighborhood 24 hours that we create this.
So part of the purpose of this gathering is to analyze best practices. And by that I mean what works. Gilberto has just described a program that works, and hopefully somebody will be inspired by this idea and try it out in another part of our neighborhood. And so I appreciate you coming. Thanks for bringing something that
works.
Thank
you very much for the invitation.
You're not only a social entrepreneur, you're an educational entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate your vision and your hard work to make your country a better place. An individual can make a significant difference in the life in somebody else's life. And when you can motivate and encourage millions of individuals to make a difference in somebody's life, then the impact becomes pretty profound. And here's an example of one fellow who's working hard to improve his country. Thanks for coming, Dr. Marie. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
What kind of doctor are you?
After my graduation in Haiti as a medical doctor, I was trained in the U.S. and become an infectious disease specialist. At that time, AIDS epidemic had started, but they did not know the etiology of HIV/AIDS
right,
at that time.
Right.
So stigmatization was high, and I decided to return home and co-founded the Gates Cure. It's a health institution, the NGO, working closely with the Ministry of Health. So to facilitate the HIV-infected individuals, we developed a model of integrated services offering care and prevention treatment for the HIV, the tuberculosis, malaria, and other sexual transmitted infections. And unfortunately, we saw that the epidemic went from the beginning where it was mostly male individuals, it became now an heterosexually transmitted disease, and actually 62% of the population coming to the clinic are women. So I decided to integrate a reproductive health service with antenatal clinic, offering treatment also to the pregnant women to prevent mother-to-child transmission.
Right.
And unfortunately, sexual violence toward women became very high also in Haiti. So in 2000, I integrated a unit offering care and treatment for victims of sexual violence, which is an interesting model where all those services are integrated. The Ministry of Health had requested then we replicate this model throughout the country. So for the last 3 years, with the PEPFAR funds, with your initiative, we have created a network of 27 health institutions, public and private, offering the same services. And what is amazing is that what we are observing is that we are creating more partnerships with other organizations working on the field and which has the experience. And with a strong partnership, public and private sector partnership, we are able to replicate our model also in the existing health institution.
She's from Haiti, obviously. She's a doc. She's deeply concerned about HIV, AIDS, and malaria. You know, our government and the people, the generosity of the American people can be, you know, is manifested by just money, spending money. Up to now, we have talked about how American citizens spend time and effort to help improve lives. We also spend money, and this is an area where I feel very strongly that America should be involved and make a difference, and that is fighting the pandemic of HIV/AIDS and dealing with malaria. And so to this end, I'm asking Congress for $30 billion expenditure over the next 5 years. She mentioned PEPFAR. That's like, initials for the AIDS initiative. And we're making a big difference. And the reason I bring this up again is that I'm not bragging. I'm just telling the American taxpayer that through your hard work and your tax dollars, we're helping programs like Maria's that are saving lives. We can measure the lives being saved. We can measure the amount of antiretroviral drugs ending up in people's systems. We can measure how many different groups there are involved. This is an area, for example, where the faith-based community has made a significant difference, not only in our own hemisphere, but in other affected countries as well. Maria mentioned that it's amazing what happens when they're networking, when one group attracts another group, that attracts another group, and all of a sudden there's a grassroots organization in place to deal with these terrible pandemics. And so I want to thank you for going back to your country, for lending your skills to help solve a significant problem that can be, that at least we can arrest the rates. At least we can help on mother, and we save children through the mother-to-child transmission of preventing programs that prevent the transmission of AIDS. And so, good going.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have beef? Yeah. You feeling all right about things?
Oh, very good. We are very happy. And what we found, interestingly, when you give them the drugs, patients feel better, they are healthy, and they don't beg for food. They want job. So, interestingly, with the PEPFAR funds, we are able to give them the health that they require, and now they ask for a job. So we create, again, partnership with a microcredit institution, so healthy individuals, whether they were HIV or not, have access to microcredit, and now they create their own micro business. And which is interesting is that 95% of those individuals who are beneficiary of this organization, we're able to return the funds back.
Yeah.
So more and more people can use now the microcredit.
Yeah, that's one thing that Secretary Paulson's going to discuss in the breakout session that he is going to be leading, and that is, you know, our view of the importance of microloans, microcredit, as a way to help people, again, help themselves and realize their potential. So thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Our last panelist is John Howe, formerly of the great state of Texas. Once a Texan, always a Texan, John. He is the president and CEO of Project Hope. Why don't you explain what that is and tell us what you're doing?
Thank you, Mr. President. Next year is the 50th anniversary of this wonderful organization. In 1958, President Eisenhower provided encouragement for us to be created. To tell you a secret, we're not legally chartered as Project Hope. We are legally chartered here in Washington as the People to People Foundation, doing business as Project Hope.
Good.
And it was in that era that President Eisenhower provided a ship, and the rest is history. I visited 12 countries over 12 years. The last 2 years was in Brazil, and reaching out and making a difference. As a result, in Peru, where Secretary Hughes will be later this summer, the ship visited the original SS Hope, and as a result, the first medical school and university hospital was created outside of Lima. And the same stories were recapitulated on and on. But that's yesterday. Let me put a face on today. In the past 72 hours, this woman named Elmira Chia left her village in Guatemala, in Puerto Barrios, and she took a trip on foot, with a truck, with a bus, 400 kilometers to reach the ship, the great naval hospital ship, the Comfort, that had been dispatched by Admiral Stravitis, who's with us today. And on board were Project Hope volunteers, ordinary Americans, volunteers. And she met Dr. Nick Morris from Powell, Wyoming. And Nick is a general surgeon. She walked there because she was not able to care for her family because she had a huge, now I'm going to get medical, abdominal hernia. And she met Dr. Morris, and Dr. Morris took her to the ship and repaired that hernia. She's back in her village today having been cured. It was life-changing for her, sir, but it was life-changing for Dr. Morris. Put another way is that we were talking with our colleague from Guatemala. After two stops out of the 12 this summer of the Comfort, the volunteers on board the Naval Hospital ship from Project Hope and our Navy counterparts have cared for 27,000 patients in Belize and in Guatemala. And when you count in the patients in Panama, just completed 35,000. Next week, I'll have an opportunity to go on board the ship in Nicaragua to say thank you to the volunteers and say thank you. So, sir, I want to say that when you gave permission for the Mercy, the other big white hospital ship, to respond to the need in Banda Aceh, what you unleashed is the evidence of the spirit of volunteerism in our country. 4,000 doctors and nurses applied to the 210 positions 2 years ago, and we've had the similar experience. So it's a wonderful example of America at its best.
Well, thanks, John. You know, it's interesting, our country has got certain images that some are true, some aren't true. And it's very important as part of our diplomacy, diplomatic effort on behalf of the American citizens to remind people about some of the great generous acts that our citizens are doing. And they do it out of the goodness of their hearts. You know, there's nothing better than being a volunteer. It's probably one of the great acts of kindness that somebody can do is to volunteer to save somebody's life or just to add a little love in somebody's heart. And we got millions of our citizens who do that on a daily basis here at home. And it's in our interest that citizens who so want to can do that outside in our neighborhood. And part of the purpose of having this gathering today is to remind our citizens of that which we're doing and to call upon our citizens, if they've got time, to help somebody in need. And as you said, the doctor from Wyoming benefited just as much as the woman in Guatemala did. And that's the beauty of giving. And so I thank you all for joining today. Our panelists did a magnificent job, like I knew they would. I thank you all very much for your interest in coming. To my fellow citizens, I appreciate you taking time. I appreciate you being involved. Thank you for caring about the plight of our fellow human beings in the neighborhood in which we live. From those of you from other countries, welcome to America. You'll find this to be a loving country full of decent, caring, fine people. And it is an honor to be the president of such a country. Que Dios le bendiga. May God bless you. Thank you.